Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
If you lost someone you love in the middle of a war, would you take the time to heal or rush back to your responsibilities? We're going to discuss all this in our episode. We are Systematic Geekology. I am your host, Elizabeth Clyde, and I am here with my co-host, the best person ever, the magic king. I don't know. I'm so
the
tired.
Magic king.
The magic king. I don't know why. I want to say the myth, the man, the legend, but I don't know why magic king came.
The magic
but,
king.
Yeah. TJ Blackwell is now the magic king.
I'm the magic kingdom is mine.
Yes.
Yeah. I live there.
How are you doing, TJ?
Great. Magical.
I'm so glad. Like, I feel like I was watching Adventure Time. And like just some of like that stuff is stuck in my head right now, and my brain is going 1,000 miles, but it's okay because we're going to slow down and have a great episode and talk about something we love. So guys, if you enjoy this episode, if you're on your laptop, please consider rating, reviewing on your podcast platform of choice. If you're on your phone, please consider commenting on our show and just helping us with our algorithm. We would greatly appreciate it. So with my very vague opening, we are talking about One Piece. Specifically, we are talking about the post-war arc, and then we're going to go into Fishman Island.
What are you geeking out on?
I don't know. Why is that?
I know what I'm geeking out on.
Okay, tell me what you're geeking out on.
Elden Ring Night Rain came out 19 and a half hours ago.
Wow.
And unfortunately, I've not been able to play it for 19 and a half hours.
Because you had to sleep?
I had to sleep. I had to do a couple of other things. And this.
Let's see. I've been doing a lot of baking. So I've been geeking out on not much. But I did decide to, in the background, and I've said this before, but from episode 1, Naruto, all the way through Shippuden to Boruto, I've just been watching it because I never finished Boruto for obvious reasons. And so now that Boruto is all English dubbed, I have that as background noise. So I'm like paying attention, not really. So I wouldn't really say I'm geeking out on it, but it's been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Boruto's not that bad.
It's not, now. But waiting week to week with the English, like, and having to like sit and watch it when it was subtitled, I just could not do it when it was out. So now that it's all dubbed, it's a great background. It's fun to see. Of course, whenever Sasuke and Sakura are on the screen, I stop everything and like rewind and like sit and give it my full attention, as my little teenage heart should. But it's been great.
Well, at least you're not waiting for the manga. It's monthly.
Is the manga still going?
Yeah.
Really? I thought it was done.
Mm-mm.
I have heard the manga is so much better than
better.
With anything. Like, it shows a lot more of like Sasuke's and Sakura's relationship and how it actually developed.
Yeah. Oh, well, a little, but
oh,
they gave it back to Kishimoto. Kishimoto took over, and then there was a time skip, and now it's good. Oh. And now we're going to talk about the post-summit war arc.
Hey, thank you for keeping me on track.
Fishman Island.
Such a good co-host. So TJ, do you remember, it's been since it probably aired that I've seen these two, but I remember it so vividly because this is right after Luffy lost Ace. And so we kind of get to see like his struggle with grief in the post-war arc, which is, I feel like, really just really healing in a way, because it just shows the human side of anime and just being able to like watch him kind of like conceal, don't feel, trying to like hold it all together was really touching, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Especially like as an adult now, and now like when I watched it 10 years ago, I didn't know what grief was. I was sad if a dog died. So I experienced it a little bit, but like losing actual family members now, like even losing a sibling, I can understand grief.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that a little bit as we just dive deeper into the episodes of One Piece. So what do you remember most about this?
So Fishman Island, I remember a lot more than the time skip.
Okay.
Like post summit war. But like I do remember Luffy's part really well and Sanji's part really well. And these probably because it wasn't that long ago that I really like watched these and paid attention for the first time. Just because, you know, growing up, I would see it here and there on 4Kids, then on Adult Swim. But it wasn't until I decided to catch up on the manga, which I started at Marineford, because I remembered everything up to Marineford. Then I caught up to the manga, and then I was like, well, I'll catch up to the anime in my spare time, which was so much longer. It took so much longer to catch up to the anime. So I remember them pretty well. I remember Fishman Island way, way better, though. But yeah, like you said, just this was, I feel like, the first time we really saw Luffy not just be like super happy go lucky. Well, second time we saw him not be super happy go lucky. First time being like a couple of days before this, when Ace died. But like watching him not be able to hold it in anymore is really humanizing for Luffy. And I think it does a lot for his character. And watching him build his bond with Rayleigh and like them develop that little student teacher bond was really cool. Everyone else, sure, whatever, time skip shenanigans. Sanji's did stick out to me because Sanji was always my favorite, and his, I thought, was the funniest.
It was hilarious. And so with this arc, a lot of it was also flashback to like Luffy, Ace, and Sabo's time together as their childhood, which really just makes the death more heart-wrenching as we relive it with Luffy. And so Luffy, for his time skip, he got sent to, it was the Amazon land, right? Oh, no, what did he get sent? I'm getting confused.
He just got sent to like a little island.
Okay, so I know he was with Rayleigh. I can't remember if like it was a sub-island off the Amazon. So he's pretty much with Rayleigh, and that's where he's kind of learning. Is he learning haiki for the first time? I know Rayleigh hockey. Taught him a lot.
It's pronounced haki. Yes.
Haki, haiki, haki, whatever. But when you hear it in like the Japanese, it's kind of, I don't know. I'm just making up stuff now.
Rayleigh's like, well, I know what this kid needs. He needs to learn haki because he just fought 3 Logia fruits and he has no idea what to do about that. So this is the spot where Oda was like, well, I might have made this one specific kind of fruit really, really strong. So I need to do something about that. And then that's why haki exists.
Nice. And then just kind of backtracking a little bit. So pretty much what happened was right at the end, all the team members got sent to different areas of the world to escape from the Marine Forge. And then Luffy does send, while everyone's on their island, pretty much a cryptic message saying 3D2Y. And so that's pretty much saying like, you know, the 3 days is crossed out. And it was sort of a place for 2 years saying we're going to meet up in 2 years. So pretty much in those 2 years, people are getting buff. So Nami went to like one of the sky islands. And so she's like learning weather and how to like make her strong with that. Usopp went to kind of like a jungle, and he's learning all these plant things to help with his ammo and the slingshot.
Nah, Usopp went to a gym.
A gym?
Usopp, well, basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he did. Yeah, Usopp well, with came running back from the shredded plant thing. Usopp's transformation is probably my favorite. So I know Sanji's your favorite story, but like Usopp's like growth. is my favorite.
Like for times, Sanji's just my favorite Straw Hat, period.
Because
time
he's the
skip
chef.
Wise, I just always thought he was cool. I liked to kick people a lot when I was younger. So, you know, the bond is there.
Gotcha.
I think so, Luffy has the best time skip story.
Yeah, his was pretty fun too. But tell us a little bit about the Sanji time skip and why you love it so much.
It's, I want to say objectively hilarious. I think it's fair to say, actually. So Sanji, I don't remember the name of the island that Sanji got sent to when Kuma blasted them all into, you know, their respective corners of the sea. But just the idea, the concept of Sanji getting stronger because he has to spend all of his time running away from Okamas, which is drag queens, is so funny. It's like he literally learns to run on air so that drag queens can't kiss him.
It's my favorite.
And at the end, he has like a great mutual relationship with them. So like, it's a happy ending. And then Mr. Two comes back and...
We can't handle that too much right now. But where did Chopper get sent? I can't remember. I can't remember Chopper either. Or Robin. So I don't know if... So obviously it didn't go too deep into their arcs.
Yeah, it was... I know...
Well, Robin went somewhere where she got to study more of the Polly stuff. I remember that.
Yeah. Because I know this is where they assassinated Chopper as a character. And after the time skip, now he's just really cute. Until Wano, at least.
Mm-hmm.
But... I'm pretty sure.
Because where would Brook went to go be a rock star?
Yeah, Brook became Soul King. Love that for Brook. Also really, really cool, like, time skip activity. I did forget about that, though. That was super awesome for him to just, like, I'm just going to get really famous.
Well, it really bothered me because I used to have all the One Piece flyers in my classroom, and Brook's was different. So my OCD, because his was more like a concert flyer. Because this is a poster. Flyer. Yeah, it still bothers me to this day, but it's
fine. It is really annoying because they don't change it ever.
Gosh, so aggravating. And so this is why when I moved all my stuff into my home office, it's not even hanging up anymore. And then Frankie, where did he go?
I want to say Frankie went back to Water 7.
Mm. And he became even more of a beast of an android, pretty much.
Yeah, he came back bigger. With bigger, sexier shoulders.
And a tighter...
A tighter One Piece.
What's it called? Why can't I think?
A Speedo.
Speedo. An even tighter Speedo.
And a bigger body.
Good job, Frankie. But this is like really important because, I mean, this is just such a defining time for the Straw Hats. I mean, they just suffered an utter defeat, and then now they are in an unknown person. They don't have their like crew with them. They, you know, are feeling vulnerable, and it's one of those times where we face so many times, like, you know, when life literally knocks you down, are you going to get better? Are you going to quit? Are you going to get stronger? Are you going to give up? Like, what's going to happen? And so it was really kind of like shocking. If you think about it, all the crew members was like, yes, we're still in it. We're going to get stronger and we'll meet you back in 2 years.
Yeah. And I like most of their reasons for like being back, like at Sabaody, are because they came back to meet them. You know, that was the goal. But Brook is just there for a concert. Brook's just performing at Sabaody.
Brook
just
is living his best life.
And then he's like, oh, right.
Can I see your panties?
Zoro went to train with Mihawk.
Yes, I remember that.
He went to live with Mihawk.
I love that. And that's when,
that's exactly what he wanted. We get to see more Perona, which is like she's like a cult classic, I guess. She's like a mild crowd favorite.
I would say she's the One Piece Harley Quinn. Kind of.
Maybe.
Like, the vibe. You know what I mean? Like, she's are going to dress up as a gothic character, it's going to be her.
Yeah. I don't know. I like her more than Harley Quinn, though.
Same. She's less annoying.
Yeah.
And less violent.
Yeah. And has cooler powers, which is powers.
I just love that she kind of just made herself at home with Mihawk.
Yeah. She just moved in.
Yeah. She just won't leave.
Gecko Mori is not a warlord anymore, so.
Like, this is where I belong now.
I live here.
And you can tell Mihawk secretly likes it, so we have a side ship going on.
Yeah, it's cute.
It is very cute. So I think that we covered all where the crew left, where would they went. So pretty much watching them get stronger. And when they reunite, it's really fun. Just seeing how they grow. Of course, Nami got sexier, like shocker.
Naturally.
As you show, she got curvier, more, you know, I like her with long hair. Robin also.
Yeah, she lost her tan. She spent all of her 2 years on the time skip inside, clearly. Mm-hmm. When she comes back, she is pasty white.
As they like them in anime. Mm-hmm.
Here at Systematic Ecology, we believe in a few things. We believe that there is freedom in Christ to like what you like. We believe that Christian nationalism is a heresy. And probably most important that I'm going to talk about today, at least, is that we believe the best place to spend your extra cash is on the Systematic Ecology merch store. That's right. This is a shameless shill for our own products. We go through Creator Spring and we have a few great products on there. Me personally, I'm a big like black shirt kind of guy, you know, muted colors. But there's nothing better to like throw a little some extra on there with like a black baseball cap, the dad hat with the Systematic Ecology logo on it. That's a classic. I just really think if you've got a couple, you know, 30 extra dollars, that's for us.
And then with their first adventure with the crew back, we go to Fishman Island.
Oh, wait, so, no, the best part of them reuniting.
Sorry, what did I forget? What was the best part?
The reuniting at Sabaody. Mm-hmm. When Chopper gets there, there's, you know, there are like Straw Hat impersonators, like Fat Luffy. Yeah,
yes.
Those guys. Chopper just is like, wow, they've changed so much in 2 years. And it's just following the fake Straw Hats around.
I forgot about that one.
And he's just completely oblivious to the fact that the people he's following are not his crew. Because that's they didn't so have a Chopper. They didn't have a fake Chopper. Because Chopper was still just the pet at that point. His bounty was like 500 berries or something.
That is hilarious.
So that's hilarious. And then like Luffy fighting the pacifistas, who he thought were Kuma, which now we know are not Kuma. That's a whole thing that we'll discuss in probably several years at this rate. Mm-hmm. But it's so good. Them coming back and being super strong, it's really special.
You get really excited and like you feel motivated and you feel like we can conquer anything. And even I remember binging it, so I didn't really have to wait for the time skip. So, but I could only imagine if Marineford was the end of one season, you actually had to wait, you know, for the episodes to come, how excited you would be to see this.
Oh, that would be killer. That would be unbelievable. What year did this even come out in the anime?
So it aired April 3rd, 2011 was the post-arc war, and it went to July 3rd, 2011. And then they had to wait until October for Fishman Island. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. So we need to know when Marine folded in.
Yeah, I was in elementary school.
I just graduated high school. So Marine Forge aired October 17th, 2010 to March 11th, 2011. So that means they actually waited. Oh, they didn't wait long at all. Losers. I didn't wait either, so it's fine. So it kind of just keep on going week to week with them.
Pretty sweet.
It is nice. But I could just imagine like if they actually made them wait, you know, per season, like a few months, it would have felt like 2 years.
Yeah. Like if it wasn't like a Toei production.
Mm-hmm.
Because they
really
like
messed it. They really should get a time machine and, you know.
They should do that.
And that's when they should do the 6 month break.
Yeah.
Is right then.
Yeah. Because right now, 6 month break's not going to mean that much.
No, people are still catching up, so it doesn't even matter.
But Fishman Island.
I loved this one just because I love aquariums. So I felt like this whole episode was a giant aquarium feast.
Yeah, I love fish. And Fishman Island's really cool. What else is there to say? Fishman Island's awesome. All the Straw Hats get another chance to shine with their new powers.
Well, you're the magic king, so this is just pretty much an underwater kingdom for you at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
And then we kind of learn a little bit. Well, we learn a big Easter egg about learn that the mermaid, right? What's her name again?
Shirahoshi.
Shirahoshi, who is the daughter of Neptune. Was that his name? Okay. And so we actually learn that she is one of like the secret weapons.
Yeah, one of the like, I don't remember what they're called all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. One of like the ultimate weapons in the One Piece world.
Yep. like the ones that the polygraph mentions that everyone's trying to keep hush hush, the one that was destroyed Robin's whole town for, like, she's just chilling, hanging out, yeah, being all like kind of ignorance is bliss. She's classic sheltered princess, but yeah, she is huge.
Massive.
She ridiculous is so huge. Big, which, you know, some fan service love that.
Yeah. You know, so it happens. One Piece has something for everybody.
They really do. Even furries. But with the Fishman Island, a theme that we really see, and we saw this a little bit back in the day with Arlong Park, is the racism and the prejudice and, you know, the humans thinking fishmen are a lesser race and whatnot. And so what we see is the actual kingdom, would you call it not under siege, but it's kind of like under control with Big Mom.
Right? Yeah, they're like, they're vassals, I would say. Like, they report to Big Mom. They pay Big Mom, like, for protection, whatever.
For sweets.
Yep.
I remember when I watched this, because I was in culinary school, and I was like, I want to eat that candy.
Yeah, it looks good. But so the reason they go to Fishman Island is because they don't want to cross over the red line. Because that's for law-abiding citizens. Everyone else has to go through Fishman Island to get past the red line into the New World. Because this is where we get into the New World and the stakes are raised a lot. So
I forgot about that. And they get a giant bubble to go through it, which is really fun.
Which is, yeah, just super fun One Piece science. They're like, yeah, no, all ships can go underwater. You just put a big bubble on them.
Yeah, and it won't pop. It'll be fine. There's no such thing as like pressure in the deep or anything like that.
No, they're just really strong bubbles.
Yeah, that is so dark and cold that you wouldn't even know which way to go. But it's
fine. That's different. Different water.
Different logic.
Yeah, different water. So we do have a main antagonist here. Hody Jones. I always called him Hody White, but because he's a great white shark fishman. But he's one of my favorite One Piece villains. I just think he's really cool. And if one villain were to come back from like this era, like pre-New World, I want it to be him. Just because I think he's awesome. Because he's a shark. I love sharks.
I like the mermaids over the shark, but have you been to the Georgia Aquarium and their shark thing?
I have.
So if you love sharks, that's a bonus tip for you guys. Atlanta, yeah. Georgia, everyone.
Yeah, big systematic ecology hint. There are three whale sharks in captivity in the Georgia Aquarium, and they raised them and saved them from some like illegal breeder or something when they were babies. So it's not unethical.
Yeah, they couldn't go back into the wild to survive.
Yep, they could not survive if they were released. So Georgia Aquarium is keeping them until the end of their lives. They're not trying to breed them or anything. It's all above board. The tank is like 600 million gallons or something.
So big.
It's cool. It's good. And they're the only ones that are in captivity legally, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see whale sharks and you don't want to be on a boat in the middle of the ocean, you go to the Georgia Aquarium.
Yep. So let us know if you go. I might meet you there because I think I've been to aquarium all across the nation and the world, if I can flex that. And Georgia Aquarium is top. Except for the one in Osaka in Japan. That was pretty fascinating too. But
yeah, it's actually a global top five aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Georgia. It rocks.
It does. Okay. Well, going back to our One Piece aquarium. So we defeat, what was his name? Hody Jones.
Hody Jones.
And Hody Jones. And pretty much he was trying to be a wannabe Arlong. He distorted Arlong's vision and a funny bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is really interesting to have someone like show up again at this point, like so far past where we were when we met Arlong, who's like, hey, what's up? Arlong was right, and I'm going to kill you for it. Mm-hmm. I really like him. I think he's a lot cooler than Arlong. I think sawfish are cooler than great white sharks, but Hody Jones's design is cooler, and he was a more interesting villain, even if his main drive was just a previous villain's drive. Argue with a wall, I don't care. Also, the cuttlefish, I don't remember his name. And I do feel bad about that, but that was a super fun fight to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was. Oh, it's the weapon is called Poseidon. So
yeah, she is Poseidon, but yeah, her name is Shiraoshi.
Yeah, but like that's the, so whenever they're reading the polygraphs and stuff like that, and they like hear about Poseidon, They don't realize that she is it. And so pretty much what she has is she has the ability to control all the sea kings and stuff. So if you think about it, she has the ability to control a lot of the water. Because sea kings, I mean, we've seen a couple of them, I think, show up. But like, you just don't realize how powerful they are.
Yeah. And like the East Blue, one sea king was like a death sentence. And they were like babies. They were like tiny, tiny sea kings. Mm-hmm. And here at Fishman Island and like all around the Red Line, they're huge. They're like, they could swallow an East Blue. I don't know. Man, we're all over the place today.
We are, but it's okay.
But they're massive. And just not a problem anymore. Not for us.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you have the power to control it. And remember, I don't think she realizes she has the power to control it.
No, she doesn't.
But the father does, because it was prophesied that every like few generations or so, like there is someone who controls it. And so it was prophesied that pretty much the person was coming. So her father, the king, put it together that this is her. Mm-hmm. But it's a big secret. And so I don't know. Dudes, it doesn't get, I think, outed for a very, very long time.
Yeah, because like, that is what makes her one of the weapons, I'm pretty sure, is mm-hmm. that she controls Sea Kings. But Luffy and Hody Jones fight because Hody Jones wants to like destroy Fishman Island for some reason, probably because he's awesome. But he thinks that's a good idea. And he's going to inadvertently destroy it at least. And Luffy stops him. And then for the rest of time, Fishman Island is like, wow, Monkey D. Luffy is so awesome and cool. All of our kids are going to wear straw hats now.
Which is really sweet, because like, what is a fish going to do with a hat? They don't need it.
They don't need a hat.
They don't. Those silly fishies.
But it is also interesting because the prophet, what is her name? But there is a prophecy that they assume is about Luffy or one of the fishmen or one of the straw hats, because it is prophesied that someone with a straw hat on is going to destroy Fishman Island. And now, so many people in Fishman Island wear a straw hat.
Yeah. So it kind of
just could be anyone. It's probably going to be Shirahoshi.
Yeah, it could be. Or even then you can think about like maybe destroying the ideology of Fishman. Like maybe it's not even like a physical destruction. It could be like more of like the how they've lived life and how they're going to go more forward, like integrating with the human. So we don't know how it's going to get destroyed.
Yep.
Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there. And so another big thing is Luffy officially invites Jinbei to join the Straw Hats.
Yep.
And we love Jinbei.
We love Jinbei. Jinbei is, he just, you know, he, like when he joins the crew, he's already like a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. And like at this point during Fishman Island, he was probably the second, maybe third strongest Straw Hat. Mm-hmm. At this point, he's been outpaced.
Because he was a warlord back in the day, right?
Yeah, so, he was one of the Shichibukai, the warlords. Mm-hmm. Along with Gekko Moria and Mihawk.
But Jinbei accepts the invitation, but he was like, I have to do some stuff first. So they didn't drink sake together yet, because he was like, I want to join, but he has to do something. So that kind of like hints, and this is going to be a little spoiler, but kind of like his, you know, involvement with the whole what's coming next with Cakey Island and whatnot, which I'm very excited about, because me being a pastry chef, I loved that way too long arc.
Yeah. Whole Cake Island, I don't know, it's not that bad. Coming off the back end of Dressrosa, nothing feels like a long arc anymore.
Yeah, you're right. But I loved it. It was so fun. I love her. Like, I would love to live there, even craziness and all.
I mean, you would just like to be Big Mom.
Okay, a little bit skinnier, though.
You'll get over it.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And speaking of Big Mom, so she's the one who controls Whole Cake Island. And so Luffy, it ends with, actually, he declares war on Big Mom. So as we mentioned before, the Fishman Island has been under the protection of Big Mom since Whitebeard's death. And so by protection, it was kind of, it wasn't a mutual benefit protection for them. It was kind of like, okay, well, we need to do this because we have no one else to really protect us. So when Big Mom crew demand the payment and the candy, Luffy learns that they want to destroy the island over it. So he boldly declare war over Big Mom. And I think he eats all the candy too, which is just such a G move to do.
Yeah.
He's like, not only am I going to eat your candy, I'm going to declare war on you. And yeah, this island is under my protection now.
Yeah, that's my goat.
And this is like to the point, like Luffy is still, I mean, he's not a nobody, but no one really realizes how strong he is because he just got his butt kicked.
Yeah. And he's like, he's about to make it known. At this point, he is like a world criminal. He's like one of the supernovas. He's one of the pirates to watch out for, like, this season, you know, every generation. But they still don't know who he is. You know, they don't know he's him. They don't know he's the pirate king one day.
They definitely don't know who his daddy is.
They sure don't, because I don't think we did at this point.
Nope, we sure did not know who, and we will not say who his daddy is until later when it is time.
Because, and we still don't know anything about his dad, so.
Nope. But we do know that we have seen, I think, his mom. I don't know, but his mom has appeared. We just don't know who the mom is.
Yeah, which is a really awesome thing to say.
I love it.
As an author.
Yes, Oda
but, yeah,
is
no, she's been in there.
Fantastic.
You just didn't know it. He's hilarious. I love Oda.
Whenever it gets revealed, we're just going to be like, of course, it freaking makes sense.
No, she's just going to be in like the background of Logtown or something. He's like, she was that silhouette right there. I planned that.
I just feel like he's going to have actually like an encounter and we're going to be like, we should have seen it. So in this, we also find out when Robin finds the Ponyo Gorilla, it pretty much says, stop.
That one was really far off.
It was really far off, but I'm so slurring right now. So pretty much it says it's an apology from a mysterious figure named Joy Boy. And so it's related to the Noah and the ancient promise. So I just love that every single time we find one of these rocks with words, it solves nothing. It keeps raising more questions. Yep. So I feel like this is almost just like a little side bonus of the whole anime. Like,
yep,
it's like one of those little side treasure chests that you didn't know you stumbled upon.
Yep. Every time a poneglyph gets translated, it's like, hey, here's four more questions and zero answers. And you're welcome.
Yeah.
Because you got to see another one.
And then like we get to ask no question. Oda does such a good job at like keeping, you know, his thoughts concealed. So there's really no spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no leaks. And so we literally just have to wait until he throws us another bone.
Mm-hmm.
Like and the like, dogs we are.
As of this year, you know, maybe a couple of months before this year, now we know who Joy Boy is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 14 years of waiting, if anyone's keeping track.
And we're still on the edge of our seats.
Yep. Because they still haven't found all the road poneglyphs.
No. And then it's even to the question, will they find them all?
Yeah, probably not.
There's so much.
They still haven't found all the ancient weapons.
Yep. But we know, well, no, we just know where one is, right? Or do we know where the two is now? We know where
two are and possibly a third.
Got it. So this pretty much just deepens, you know, the void century and ties to the larger one of the One Piece. Every time we feel like we're getting close to it, we find out we're not. And then we depart Fishman Island and they break through the sea's current and officially enter the new world, the second half of the Grand Line. So do you remember the feeling of them finally leaving? Did you feel like it was like we would actually... At this time, 14 years ago, did you think we were getting close to finding the One Piece?
I thought we were at least halfway done.
I was like, we are about to find the One Piece, baby.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is it. A couple more years and it's over.
But now 14 years later, Oda says we're just getting started.
Yeah, 14 years later, Oda's like, yeah, okay, so the intro's done. I've finished setting the groundwork for the story and now we can start.
Actually, you can just start right now. So all those like 20 years that you wait.
Literally, he's like, you can start reading right now and miss nothing.
I hate him like and revere him at the same time.
Like that's just not true, man. That's just not true.
So do you have anything else to say about Fishman Island?
Shout out Fishman Karate. Fishman Karate is awesome. Oda revealed later in an SBS, like he loves to do, that anyone can learn Fishman Karate, not just fishmen. And you can only learn it at Fishman Island.
I like it. I mean, it but even brings for it. The equality. Like yeah. Anyone can learn it.
Yeah. And that's just so crazy. Because anyone can do it? What do you mean anyone can do it? It's controlling water. It's not just karate. They're literally moving. They're waterbenders. Why can you learn that?
But why not is the question.
It makes sense if fish can do it. They're fish.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
I want Sanji to learn Fishman Karate.
And just kicks the water bullets or something.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Awesome. It'd be very handy for cooking too.
He could use Diablo Jambe and kick boiling water at people.
He can sous vide a lot of stuff.
Just going to sous vide his enemies.
Yeah.
Just going to walk around the battlefield with a tub of water, put his leg in there.
That would be great. Sous vide is a great cooking method.
It is.
For those who do not know.
It absolutely is.
So what would you give these? Okay, try not to think forward of the arcs we've already seen. I would think from what I've seen this time, the post skip is probably my favorite because I was really excited when they all got back together. The post-war arc, I would say, is top tier for me at this point.
Yeah, their reunion is really heartwarming and it's really fun to watch. Both of these arcs are like smaller, though. And there is a lot of meaning in both of them, but it's impossible for me to view them outside of the context of the other arcs in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to score both of these like 7 out of 10.
Well, I'm like writing wise, I would say like the depth wise, I agree with you. Like there's better meaty arts and better written arts, but so I don't really even know if I can rate it, but like just as an emotional like investment, like this is my fave.
It is a big payoff.
And I do like that it's shorter. It's refreshing to have like to get through it quickly sometimes.
Well, I mean, at this point, One Piece hadn't had a ton of really long arcs.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dressrosa happens soon.
I remember it was hard getting through that one. It was so long. And I didn't even know what I was going through.
Like 400 episodes.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you every time I pause, which arc I was in, because I just had to take a break because I could not watch week to week. And I would like literally, I remember I would take a year off and then binge it. And then I would take another year off and then binge it.
Yeah. Just nothing happens in Dressrosa so often. Mm-hmm. Yep. You watch entire episodes where nothing happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that next time. So, as we wrap up, please, once again, feel free to rate, give this episode a like or however your platform chooses. If you enjoyed this episode, we have probably at least, what would you say, a dozen episodes like this now? We've done quite a few. I can't count them. And we have quite a few more to go, as we have said, 14 years later, and we're just getting started. So I guess this will be a very long segment until the end of time, unless you absolutely hate it. And if you do, let us know and we'll continue to do it. And we'll just know that we have some hate, which is perfectly fine.
It is.
Thank you so much for all the Patreon members, for those who support. Special shout out to Justin Vaughn. We appreciate you. Remember, if you would like your own shout out too, you can support the show for $3 a month on one of these three platforms, which is Captivate, Patreon. What was the other platform, TJ?
Apple Podcasts.
So whichever one you prefer. And for the Patreon members, we do have a bonus question, so make sure you stick around for that. But for those who hate us and do not support us on Patreon, we still love you. So remember, we are all a chosen people, a kingdom of priests.
Hey guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that, and all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.